everyone, and welcome to the Human Design Podcast with me, your host, Emma Dunwoody. I'm a qualified master coach and human behavior specialist, as well as being a qualified human design coach. And I work with clients every single day to answer the big questions. Who am I? Why am I here? And what is my purpose? I also assist them to transition from the person they think they should be to the person they really are on the inside. I teach people how to actually live their design instead of just knowing it. And if this is something that you want to do too, well, stay tuned or reach out for private coaching or Human Design Unpacks, where I show you exactly how to live your design. Hey, hey, everyone, and welcome to today's podcast. Now, today I have someone fascinating with me. His name is Mike Pinnett, and Mike actually reached out to me, probably a couple of months ago to introduce me to the Sphinx Code, which I must admit I had Googled probably 12 months earlier and I was fascinated by. But being a good MG that I am, I did not respond from anything internal, and sure enough, something external turned up and I had an amazing session with Mike probably a month ago. So before we jump into the Sphinx Code, Let's welcome Mike. And can you tell the listeners a little bit about yourself and your human design, please?
Sure. Yeah. Thanks for having me. It's good to be back. So I've been following human design. I've been kind of on the path of personal development, self-improvement, all that stuff through my own coaching work and just a huge flipping myself upside down and doing a different line of work, from going from the restaurant industry into coaching. And that led me into lots of twists and turns. But when I had found out about the Sphinx Code and just this whole system that was kind of connected to human design in a way, my ears perked up and it got me on this new path. But yeah, I'm 5-1 generator. So that, like, 5-1 just wanted to figure everything out, wanted to understand it. And now I'm here. It's very interesting how it's like kind of swept me off my feet in a way. But it's been an unraveling of my own human design, but then also supplementing with this new system that kind of helped glue everything together for me.
Yeah, I love it. In our session together, we actually talked at length about, and you can please fill in the blanks of how the Sphinx Code got to this point, but we started talking about things down my mum's line, you know, like you sort of highlighted some things down the ancestral line of my mother. And since we spoke, you wouldn't believe the shit that's been going on.
Really?
And
oh, wow.
Things that are like the deepest healing, like all of these memories, awarenesses, like so many things that I was completely unconscious to have come up for healing since we spoke. So it was absolutely mind-blowing. It's been amazing.
That's so cool. Yeah.
So tell me, for the listeners, what exactly is the Sphinx Code?
So the Sphinx Code is an ancient tool that was uncovered about 12 years ago. Somebody named Manesh Ebar and two other mystics just channeled it. And the whole concept came from the question of why the tarot didn't have its own kind of blueprint type system. And that just led this whole download of the Sphinx Code within like a few weeks. And it takes your birth time. It matches the numerology and the Fibonacci sequence to spit out this map of your subconscious mind. And so it shows this top pyramid, which is like your soul kind of incarnation, the bottom, which is like the more incarnation, the things that you came in to discover. And then it has this whole transcendental path that shows your harmonization card, the things that like help you transcend the ego to go into the higher realms of your pyramid. So it's and just to hear like how it kind of resonated with you and your own story, it's just like my reading with Manesh, it was like right before I did a vision quest with him, which is like a 7 days in nature, isolated without any distraction. So I had this reading, and it just like was so oddly specific, and it couldn't, like, there's no way I could look away from it. It was just too spot on, and like it dug into so many things that like I just couldn't understand how he was pulling this information from these cards. So
yeah,
the way it works really does map things out, but in a visual way. So it's speaking more with the right hemisphere. It's giving you like this language to kind of decode within your own mind that helps make sense of certain things that can be hard to really put words to. I think language can kind of fall short of some of these things. So yeah, it's an interesting experience.
Yeah, I love it. It's really interesting because a friend of mine, she's done, and the listeners know Jenny Crowther really well because she does a Transits podcast with us, and she's actually with Manesh, I'm pretty sure right now, doing a journey with him or a vision quest with him.
Oh, no
and way. She cool. literally just messaged me 2 days ago before she went into like lockdown, phone lockdown, because she'd had her full Sphinx code done, and she was like, what the actual fuck, this is amazing. So so it's really interesting to hear the from your side of the fence how it works. So before we sort of dive into it a little bit more deeply, why specifically, or what specifically would people go to the Sphinx Code for? Like, what is it to heal something? Is it to learn something about themselves? Like, why would we use it? Why would we go to you about for it?
Yeah, I think for me, it's just been a really valuable lens to look at my own life, my own story, and kind of poke holes in whatever disempowering beliefs and limits I was putting on myself. It kind of has a way of revealing things to you, and also just giving you an allowance and permission to really step in and embody some of the strengths of certain things that you don't always want to admit to, and some things that like are in your shadow and hard to really look at and confront. So I think for me, it really gave me the opportunity to meet those places and go into those depths that were a little bit like, all right, I got to sit with this. But yeah, I think it can just be a really valuable tool for contemplation, for self-inquiry, and also like giving yourself a new perspective and vantage point to kind of zoom out and look at the big picture of where your life is going.
Yeah,
I think with human design, it's really a beautiful system to give kind of a strategy and like a way of it's also a really powerful tool, but the Sphinx Code is a little different in the sense that it like, it almost gives you like a storyboard of life.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I love that. And cause I really think if the more I study human design and I sort of dive into it, I really love the theory or the explanation. Like, human design is a structure, you know, it's just like a skeleton, and it's not who you are. It's just like the structure of your energy. And I think that like the thing about the Sphinx Code is it really did, you know, doing mine, I was like, wow, that kind of really brought life to it. You know, there's this energy and these things. And to be honest, like I had the devil, I had death. I had like these cards that even 12 months from now, I'd be like, holy shit, I need to run in the opposite direction. But because I've been doing so much work on my shadow and really understanding the flip side of these things that my ego had all these fear stories on, it was so beautiful to be able to sit with it and just hearing you explain each card and the journey and how specifically that reflected on a particular part of my life was just mind-blowing. And it was really cool to be able to see it without the fear of, oh, hang on a second, the devil and death are there. Do I need to be worried?
Right.
Do you have many people that do, like when they get their Sphinx Code, they're like, oh, should I be worried about this or that?
Yeah, I think that it can be like unsettling or just things that we don't always want to admit to ourselves, or like it can be like you're really putting yourself, it's very revealing in a lot of ways. So you can feel pretty exposed. But I think the more open and just like, I think the whole idea around it is to kind of give a little distance of how serious we take everything and how like we can condition ourselves to be really rigid in our thinking and how things can be, you know, whether it's good or bad, it's really what we make of it. So I think it offers that a little bit of distance to see that whole, that Leela, that like that divine play that's kind of happening.
Yeah,
I think it is. Yeah, for me, I mean, there were some cards, and then in the training, which was like a 2-week process of going into the cards and really knowing how wild and how many different psycho-emotional and different ways that they can be expressed, it does push on some pressure points and some things that like, oof, like I don't know if I like that, but it's all just a way of kind of self-exploring, and it's not a rigid dogmatic like this is the way it is. It's like this is a way it can be expressed if it goes unchecked kind of thing. So
yeah, I love that. So tell me, I know that when I was looking at it, you've got the two triangles. You've got I think one that faces down, one that faces up. Do you want to talk us through like what is the actual mm-hmm. structure? Because I know that there's a whole, you know, you took me on a journey. So can you talk to that a little bit, please?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's the two pyramids, and then in the middle you have your inner essence, which is like the inner child, the like that spark of joy that is like your essence. And then surrounding that, it has on the left side your feminine evolution, which is also like karmic genetic scripts. And then it leads up into the soul pyramid, which so it shows that whole transformation of your feminine or internal traits. And then on the right, it shows the external masculine evolution, which is, it shows the more things, what people notice you, the physical traits, things like that. And then, so the conditioned ego and the transformed evolved ego are aside that in the transcendental path. And that kind of, a lot of people really associate and see themselves in the ego, which is kind of funny. Like, it's almost sometimes harder to see their own inner essence, depending on, you know, what somebody's journey has been. But it shows below that the harmonization card, which is kind of the most important card in the deck, which is really the card that helps you lift out of the shadow and help transcend the ego. And then the soul mission on the top right. So that's like the refining of your H card, kind of like gets you into really embodying that soul mission in the path that you're on. But yeah, it can be really, it's kind of like, I feel like we're ping ponging between the light and the dark all the time. It's like, we're not always in one archetype. It's just like a combination of all of them. And it's really, seeing the egos and stuff like that, it can be really useful to notice when I'm in that archetype or, when there's like patterns that are because of certain intimate traits, it's like, oh, okay. This is showing me something right here. And to see the card that is in the upper that helps kind of take you out of that, the depths or the darker edges of that, it can show you a clear path to get out of that. So it's a really useful kind of roadmap to see not only the cards that are like in your hand, but just how to kind of work with them in a way that is more empowering and less kind of in the grips and in a victim's place with them.
Yeah, I love that. And I wish I'd actually just reviewed mine to work out. I know that I had, I think my, like one of the big themes that I remember is, you know, this connection that I have with energy, like really being able to be fascinated with it, to be able to learn to master it, if you like. And I remember it, like thinking at the time, like that journey is so fascinating for me. And I was even talking to Justin this morning as we were driving about how, you know, I'm so quick to get back in my head. I'm so quick to work it out. And I've really been playing with this energy piece, even just in the 48 hours with something very specific, and how we can just drop into these aligned energies of ours and things can change, like miracles can happen just so quickly. And I remember when you were reading or going through my Sphinx code, it was just like so relevant. You know, I was sitting there as an MG, like constantly nodding my head. And I loved that it's this journey of taking you from or bringing awareness to things and then giving you this path to, okay, well, this is the low expression or the ego, and this is the path to taking a better road. Mm-hmm. Which for me, this is a really big piece, even within human design. You know, I really love the gene keys, because the gene keys gives us the evolution of a gate or of a gene key, as opposed to just this is who you are, because I don't believe we are fixed in any way.
Right.
So how specifically has the Sphinx Code changed your life? Like, what have you given, what have you let go of, and what have you embraced?
That's a good question. Well, what really catapulted me into that vision quest was like a ending of a relationship. So it was like, it had really, I was coming into it with, feeling a bit of just confusion and like unsettled, just not really having a clear, I was just in that like haze, and having the reading and then sitting with that reading for 7 days uninterrupted, it was like really, it really showed some of the patterns in my intimate and just internal psycho-emotional patterns and things like that. And he really illustrated how I show up in relationship just in that one reading. And it was just so spot on. And it really gave me a new, it felt like, it was just like relaxing, like feeling seen, feeling like understand and witness. Like there's something that comes with that. And I think it liberates you from having to like repeat the same story and that subconscious kind of loop that you get stuck into that doesn't, it can be real sneaky. So it's definitely turned me into just having a more awareness and being onto myself in a new way. Like I can't hide under the same tricks as usual.
Yeah.
And I also like, I've been doing coaching and I feel like it's, I've always been really interested in the subconscious and through like hypnosis and different ways of shifting beliefs. And, this really gave me, a really direct, clear path as far as like how I can kind of get through them and also like call them out. And I think it just came to me at the right time. And it glued a lot of things together for myself to make sense of how I show up in myself. So,
yeah, I love that. As you were speaking, it really made me, remember or just at least tap back into one of the things I love about human design, and I think it's similar with the Sphinx Code, is that, I just like you, I've spent many years studying the brain, mindset, changing beliefs, all of that sort of thing. And one of the things that I think is so powerful about the Sphinx Code or human design or the gene keys is that, when we're just focusing on the supercomputer or on the mind, like we're kind of hunting around in the dark, that you often hear people use the metaphor of the torch. Like we're in this big, massive warehouse and we just have a torch and we're kind of like, is that it? Is that it? Is that it? And the one thing that I love with human design and with this Sphinx Code is that it's very specific. So it can really lead you to a place where you're holding on to ego, shadow. You've created conditioning that's what I call unresourceful. And it gives you like somewhere to actually look. It's like all of a sudden you've turned the lights on and you can be like, oh, all right, well, this is something I need to look at, but this thing over here isn't relevant. Or all the time you spend hunting for a belief system, if you like, with these sort of tools, it sort of leads you with more direction to where to look and what to look at. I was reminded the other day about the I follow, or at least I read a lot of Dr. David Hawkins books. So fascinated by kinesiology and how this is just constantly tapping us into the truth, consciousness and the truth. And it made me think of times that I've been working with my kinesiologist and I'll say something and she just goes, oh, no, that's not testing. And I really like just yesterday I was thinking, I really want to reach out to her because a lot of the time she's like, yep, that's it. Yep, that's it. It's a yes, 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 yes. But I remember in the beginning, she'd be like, nah, nah, nah. And like that difference between when we have things like the Sphinx Code or human design, we really have the opportunity to dive deep on our specific stuff, because we carry this energy and then our brains create the story around it. You know, we give it the meaning. So when we know where we're looking, we can be like, oh yeah, I made it mean this. And actually, and I made it mean that I needed to be this person in a relationship. Whereas when we get this framework, we know exactly where to look and exactly how to, well, not exactly. We still need to, especially if you're like me, align three, you have to make a lot of mistakes, but at least you're in, the lights are on. Does that make sense? Does that resonate with you?
Totally. Yeah. And it's, yeah, it can be really unsettling too. Depending on how convincing that story was that you've been telling yourself, it can be really shattering. And I think that's, I forget who said it, it's like personal crisis is when the story you've been telling yourself no longer suits you or is no longer compelling. It's like these types of things can really initiate a lot of changes and like a lot of shifts in how our energy is being expelled. So I think it's always like, depending on what you bring to it and where you are in your journey, it's just going to pull something new and like reveal something that you're ready for. I feel like there is like a certain trust that we have to just kind of know that the right things are coming to us when we're supposed to. And and it's with kinesiologists too. Like I've had those situations where I'm like, I'm sure, can you do it? Can you just check again?
Yeah. I love that. So totally. And like my kinesiologist, excuse me. My kinesiologist is very direct. She's a Leo. And I remember saying to her really early on, are you sure? And she's like, I'm sure. Okay. So I totally learned to go, okay, take it, Emma, take it between the eyes. Mm-hmm. But yeah. And I think that it's such a beautiful opportunity for us to, and I suppose this is why all of these tools are appearing now, as consciousness has to shift really quickly. Like we are in this time where we're having to change really quickly. And it's funny, I actually just did a post on, well, I wrote it, but I didn't post it because I'm hopeless like that, on Instagram just this morning about like, once we discover these things, we can't put it back in the box. And there is a responsibility that when we go down these paths and we find ourselves and we heal ourselves and we put the hard yards in, there is also a part of our responsibility to stay in our authenticity, stay in our power, even if it's going to upset people or other people aren't going to like it. And I think that, you know, every time we see what I call our truth, you know, with a human design, when you read something about your chart or someone does a reading for you and you're just like, oh my God, that feels true. It was the exact same experience I had with the Sphinx Code. Like, yep. And even as you were talking through the lineage of both dad's side and mum's side, like there are so many, we talked a lot about secrets on my mum's side and my mum has kept some rippers, let me tell you. And then I had this amazing awareness later on, like I've actually married, my husband is the cross of obscuration. So his cross is all about secrets. So it's like, I'm literally, and I love this where we can see that how the puzzle pieces fit together. Like this is obviously such a massive life lesson for me because I have to heal something in mum's lineage. I've even literally married someone who is a secret keeper or a secret exposer. You know, like this is so perfect. And I really believe that this is where we have to start trusting the depths of our energy, you know, like instead of letting our minds jump in and go, oh my God, I'm afraid because the devil card turned up, say, okay, how does this feel? And how does that resonate with me? Is this true for me? And I really felt with the Sphinx Code, I had that real awareness of it. I had a question and it's just disappeared. Anyway, so can anyone learn this? Because straight away, as soon as we got off the call, I'm like, right, I really want to learn this. I want these cards. And I know I can't have the cards without learning the Sphinx Code, but is that something that people can do? Because I know there's only a few of you that do it right now, isn't there?
Yeah, I want to say there's like 11 of us right now. I think up into 1,000 people, he wants to have about 1,000 wisdom keepers. Anybody can really... I think it takes a certain willingness to sit in the training for 2 weeks straight, and it's like 14-hour days almost, just like drilling in this information. It really does. It's one of the more useful, fascinating tools for me. It's just like anything that goes into subconscious, and then also symbology with like archetypes, and just the tarot is just such a fascinating system that a lot of the language and the hidden code has been kind of lost in a lot of the tarot decks and stuff like that. So it's like, while they're still beautiful and incredible, it's like there is something that it's missing in that process of how to kind of speak to the subconscious in that certain way through these different images and things like that. So the Sphinx Code gives like a really in-depth initiation into that symbology as well. So it's really fascinating for that.
Wow.
So it's definitely, I believe it's open to anybody. So yeah, if you're willing to go into it.
It certainly sounds like a rabbit hole I'd like to go down, let's be honest.
Yeah.
And it's so funny for me because I know that you actually responded to the podcast I did with Liz on the tarot. And it's so weird because it's the, as I said on that podcast, like I have really almost had a fear of the tarot for such a long time. And it's only recently in the last 12 months that I've kind of been like, that's totally me. I'm just making that shit up. And and got curious about it. But so how does everything work together? Like, do the cards still have all the same meanings, or there's a further depth that's linked to the subconscious? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. So it'll map out, and depending on where the card is, it'll have a different energy trait and just a way that it gets expressed or articulated in that way. So like for you and your mom having like in that card where it was the hermit, so there is like that expression of the hermit in that space. And then above that would be the healing card, which is the death card. So that's what that transformation, that way that those cards get expressed, are kind of just kind of written into that evolution. They have their own unique flavor as far as like how it's kind of infused with your inner essence, that inner child card. And it's kind of constantly at play, but it really, each specific place has a unique texture that it brings. So
amazing. Yeah. Oh my goodness. So if I or anyone listening wanted to learn how to do this, how do we do that?
We're going to be launching a campaign in a few weeks just to bring this out. So there's going to be an app that people will eventually be able to kind of go into this journey and self, navigate it.
Amazing.
But yeah, there are going to be trainings, and there's also going to be early pre-ordering for the deck. I'll be illustrating the next tarot deck, and there are going to be initiations for other artists to do that as well. So there's going to be a lot of opportunity to people. It's still super young in its evolution. And so yeah, this people can kind of reach out through, I have an email list that's getting built right now, and they'll be up to date as far as like when that launches, when they'll be able to get their deck and all those things.
Amazing.
Yeah. But yeah, the trainings and things like that can all be found through the campaign that we're going to be launching.
Oh my God, that's so exciting. Well, we'll just put your website and that sort of thing in the show notes, so whenever people are listening, they can just reach out to you and find you on Instagram as well.
Amazing.
I love it. So what would be, like, if you could, let's say that you've been given the Sphinx Code or been given the opportunity to use this in this lifetime, what would you like it to change or transform, like through your work? What would you like to change or transform, whether it's with your clients, whether it's with you? What's the purpose of all this for you?
Yeah, I really do strongly believe that when we're really accessing and like meeting the depths of who we truly are, like we really bring out a lot of gifts and things that are just buried and not getting drawn out of us because there's a story or some sort of limiting factor or something that we've been conditioned into believing. So being able to really expose these things and help bring people into them and embody their power that they're meant to really bring out these things, these gifts, these natural things that are so often really hard for us to even see. You know, I think it's one of these funny things where it's we can kind of silence and downplay some of these gifts, but the Sphinx Code has a way of kind of exposing and allowing us to really step into them in a new way. I think that there's so many different interesting ways and twists and turns that it could take, but I think the Sphinx Code is really here to kind of wake us up in a new way, to our own strengths. And I think that, being an artist myself, like, it's very interesting for me. So it's just been a fascinating kind of rabbit hole that I've just been lost in.
I love it.
I'm just trusting that.
I love it. And even the images, like, they're just incredible. Like, you can even get just lost in one card, staring at one card and looking at all the little intricacies of each piece. Like, I think it's just beautiful. Yeah. And I totally agree. I really think that there are way too many people on planet Earth right now that are so heavily conditioned or in fear that they don't even have access to their own power. They don't even know it's there. And in so many cases, what I see is that they're actually shaming, guilting, or, really damaging themselves towards these gifts because they're like, well, it's not normal, or I shouldn't do that. And ultimately, these are actually the things that are your gift. You know, that sentence we hear in human design all the time, it's given me permission to be me. And I think that this is just another level of it. I love that the Sphinx Code talks directly to that unconscious mind. You know, this is 95% of our behavior. Whether we like it or not, we can't always just be in this completely, I think people have this perception that, like, the mind is bad, and it isn't. It's a superpower. It's just that it can't be leading. It can't be literally making the decisions. The decisions need to be made within our body, within our energy. And I think all of these sort of tools really help us to be like, wow, so that feeling inside of me that I've been denying my entire life, or I can't get at, like, I had this really resonant feeling of, like, I've got this thing to do, and I know it's like, it kind of looks and feels like this, but that's ridiculous. And then when I was kind of starting to open up to the possibility of me being able to sort of expand into that, I was like, how do I get at it? I know it's in there. And I think that's a lot of what all of, like, the human design and Sphinx Code, things like this, really get us access to that knowing that we have deep inside of us, that we have more to be and more to give on planet Earth. Have you got any examples, obviously without giving away names or too many details, but have you got examples that people that you've worked with that you've just seen these big transformations from using this to guide them into being more them?
Yeah, I've early on, it was a lot of people that I knew and friends. So it was like I was coming in with some knowledge about who they were and just like their background and stuff like that. But to have a way to really go in and look and see these different characteristics and ways that they show up, it just really helped them see and have a better idea of like how they could navigate it. But also just to kind of piggyback on what you were saying earlier about just that, like going into the shadow, going into like our own darkness and in a way, like for you bringing up that devil card, it's like, it can be just like, oh, wow, like that's kind of intense. But like to know that the potential wisdom is like really being able to go into the darkness, to be able to like see your shadow, see the full spectrum of human that exists. And then that's what really brings out the light. That's what like gives you the opportunity to choose which realm you want to play in. So I think, for people that I know, I've just it's been really interesting because it keeps evolving with the people that I've given sessions for, and they keep getting like little nudges, and it tends to keep working with them in a way that it keeps revealing new things. So it's like whatever happens in a session, you have that blueprint forever, and you can always kind of just meditate, sit with it, and the archetypes will kind of continue to speak to you in a way that's very unique. So yeah, for me it's definitely changed everything. but yeah I can't say like I don't know anybody that's like completely changed their whole life after, but it can be really profound.
Yeah, I love it. And I really do think that it's powerful that it, you know, that symbology. I mean, the unconscious mind talks in symbols and images, and I think that's also super powerful. So tell me about the mystics that brought it in. So Manesh and two others, did they, like, was this just how did they sort of channel it? How did they bring it in?
They're just casually hanging out on the mountainside.
Yeah.
Lightning struck. And no, it was, I mean, Manessa is a really interesting story. He's like died a couple times, been like revived off. He's spent like 44 days in nature solo and done these very intense initiations into different lineages and different ways of communing with, you know, spirit. So it's mostly through him and these two other people. I'm not too familiar with on the story with them and background, but they really sat around and when I asked him, he just told me it was just a very very uncomfortable, just a lot of information coming in at once. And it was all in French. So like they were doing this, I think it was up in the Pyrenees Mountains, on the quarter, more in Spain, but yeah, they were, I don't know the specifics on how it came, but he had been working with different systems and different ways in the tarot in its own way. But this just like opened out this whole different channel for things to come in. And it started from him just asking a question and meditating on it. And then the three of them together kind of dictated, and one person was writing, the other person was receiving, and it was pretty intense because the book is like a massive, like 800 plus page book that has like the entire code written into it. And it's very intense. How that kind of happens.
I know, it fascinates me. It absolutely fascinates me, especially hearing all of the, you know, I'm actually rereading for the, I don't know, 100th time, A Course in Miracles, just a short version of it. And so just, you know, between that and human design and hearing this story, like that channeling, like all of a sudden when someone's ready, boom, it just comes in. It just fascinates me.
Yeah.
Oh. All right. Well, it has been so lovely talking to you. Is there anything else that you want people to know about the Sphinx Code before we head out?
No, I think, I would love to guide people into this system if they're interested. So, yeah, if anyone's curious, just have them reach out.
Yeah, and do it, people, because it was, oh, my God, it blew my mind. It was fascinating. It was so much fun. And as I say, for me personally, it had been a catalyst for, it's been a catalyst for some huge healing down my mum's side. And I think it's really interesting, you know, that we had all those conversations and, you know, that I had that death card, like it really is like, that's the end, that's it. And that's the way I've always really felt, like this is the end of the bad habits of you, if you like, that have come down both sides of my parents. So to see that played out, I think it just was really powerful, and it was the catalyst. Like there's so much been going on since then. So check it out, people. We are going to put Mike's details in the show notes so you can reach out, have a session. And you can do sessions for anyone all over the world, obviously. Because I'm in Australia and, well, you're in America now, but where were you? You were in Mexico, weren't you?
I was in Mexico.
Yeah. Love it. All right, people. Well, thank you so much, Mike, for joining. This has been super fun.
Thanks for having me.
You're so welcome. And thank you, everyone, for being with me today on the Human Design Podcast. I look forward to having you next time. Bye for now.
Thanks, everyone, for being here all the way to the end of the podcast. I hope you got lots of value out of it. I certainly had a lot of fun doing it. Could I please ask that you share this podcast with friends if you found it valuable? And also, bonus points, could you leave a review for me as well on Apple? It would be greatly appreciated. If at any point you would like to be on the podcast or you've got questions that you'd like me to discuss on the podcast, by all means, get on my socials and DM me. Everything you need is there in the show notes. Have an awesome day. Bye for now.